I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled Madison Plains Board of Education meeting. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Incas?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Gary?
Here.
Mr. Mead?
Here.
Mr. Eisner and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mr. President, we have freshman Mirage Haverfield who will lead us tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now move to Section B, Student Recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could, the very first person, and we have quite a few students to recognize this evening, but the very first person that I would like to ask to come up to the podium is Anna LeGault. Anna is our Student of the Month this month for the London Rotary Club, and so I would like to read a little bit about Anna. The London Rotary Club is pleased to honor senior student Anna LeGault as a Student of the Month for Madison Plains High School for the month of April. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Anna has a 3.68 grade point average, and she is currently ranked 11th in her class. Her favorite course is Business Management for Ag Systems. While in high school, Anna has been a four-year member of FFA. She has served that organization in the roles of assistant reporter, reporter, and is serving this year as the organization's president. Additionally, she has participated in parliamentary procedure, meat judging, green hand quiz bowl, and equine judging. She has also been a member of FCCLA Student Council, and Anna has been a three-year member of the MPHS chapter of National Honor Society. When asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires her, Anna picked Madison Plains Elementary School teacher, Mrs. Victor McConkie. Anna stated, "As I have grown up here, the compassion she has shown me has not gone unnoticed." Regarding Anna, Mrs. Victor McConkie said, "Anna LeGault is a remarkable student whose dedication to learning is truly inspiring. Her kind words affirm the importance of compassion in education, and her growth as an individual reflects her resilience and determination. It's an honor to have been a source of inspiration for Anna on her educational journey." After graduation, Anna plans to attend Delaware State University in Dover, Delaware to obtain a degree in agricultural business and management. Anna is the daughter of Ed and Kim LeGault. And so I would just like to say congratulations to Anna on behalf of all of us and the high school administration. Congratulations, Anna. Well done. Anna will be recognized on Thursday at the London Rotary Club luncheon. So very much looking forward to honoring her there as well. And so, Anna, we have a little gift for you, or not a gift, but a certificate for you to commemorate the occasion. So I can bring this up to you, or you can come here if you want. Either way, thank you.
Good job.
The next person that I would like to have come up to the podium tonight is Mirage Haverfield. And Mirage is a freshman this year and qualified for the state wrestling tournament as a ninth grader.
Nice.
Really impressive. So her coaches and some others gave me a little bit of information to read tonight, so I'd like to do that. We would like to congratulate and recognize freshman Madison Plains wrestler Mirage Haverfield on her accomplishment in qualifying for the Ohio High School Athletic Association Girls State Wrestling Tournament. At the state tournament, Mirage won one match and was one match away from placing. She finished the season 30-12 with 29 pins and placed at every regular season tournament. She earned first team OHC, winning all five matches, was first at the Ladies Golden Eagle Classic, first at pre-regionals, and third at regionals. Mirage's favorite moment of the season was winning her first high school dual match and getting the rest of the team fired up to beat East Clinton. Her goal for next year is to place top six or better at the state tournament and grow the girls' wrestling program at Madison Plains. Mirage aspires to wrestle in college on an athletic scholarship and earn a bachelor's degree. Finally, Mirage would like to thank her coaches and teammates for the countless hours they put in, helping her to reach the state tournament. Go Eagles. And so Mirage, I want to say congratulations. I know I enjoyed being able to come to the wrestling matches and watch you wrestle here. And then obviously I enjoyed going down to the state meet. That was really super exciting. And getting to see you win your first match there was really, really cool. So well done. We're looking forward to many more good things from you in the future. So we have a certificate for you as well. So again, congratulations.
Good work.
And we are not done yet. So at this time, I would like to call up our coaches. Our girls state wrestling team, our girls powerlifting team, our state champs. And so if our coaches could come up, I would like to invite them to the podium to say a few words. So we've got Coach Paul Bryant and Coach Mike Siders. Looks like Coach Bryant is going to speak first, so I will let him go.
Just want to talk about real quickly how excited and humbled I am just to be a part of this program. I've been blessed that Coach Siders and I have been doing this 7 years now. This is our fourth overall state team championship, 3 girls, 1 boys. Every year we just keep getting better and better, the girls and guys both. This year, our guys' team, the competition is just getting extremely difficult. Our boys' team broke our single meet record by almost 800 pounds.
Wow.
And still, as a team, they finished third in the state. As the girls, we won the state championship again, like I said, 2 years in a row. It's 3 out of the last 5 years. 1 year, no state championship because of COVID. So. They've really started to build a tradition here. They're the ones that do all the hard work, and I'm just blessed to be able to be a part of that. We had 3 individual state girls championships, our champions. We have 1 boys state champion. Dallas Johnson's not here, but we'll introduce you to the girls here in a minute. A few of them aren't here. I just came from a track meet, so there was girls there, drive by, see softball play. So a lot of our lifters are out. Still doing stuff this spring, so I just wanted to say real quickly, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this, and things look good. We have a lot of young people this year. We're not an old team at all, so I look forward to talking again next year at this time.
that's hard to follow. I just want to thank the Board of Education, Madison Plains, for allowing Coach Bryant and I to lead this program over the years. I started in 2011 with 4 kids. We carried 70 this year. The group's expanding, like Coach said. Like, you know, all of our girls are out competing, and some of them who made it tonight. And you can't say enough about the effort that they put, because it takes all of them from every sport to get it done. And the effort that they put in the weights, and then the attitude that they bring to the school, into the weight room, into others in the student body, is remarkable. Even teachers are looking at them, the way that they carry themselves. And we come back and we hear, I listen throughout the school, and I don't say much to anybody, but I hear it all the time. And they talk about the transition. They're going into what the girls are doing tonight on the softball diamond, what the guys are doing tonight on the baseball diamond, what the girls are doing on the track, what the guys are doing on the track. So it's everybody. It's not just one team. It's one school. It's Madison Plains High School. And I've always said, and I said it last year, it takes a community to come together to win championships. And Madison Plains is going to be an outstanding community for years to come. I'm on the end of my rope as far as retirement, you know, maybe 6 years. But things are getting exciting because I see other programs like powerlifting, that parents are getting involved, the community's getting involved, and the energy's building, and it's going to be fun. And I said last year, the wave's coming, now the fire is out. it's coming out. It's going to be fun to watch how this whole thing transpires, the vision that I've had for about 17 years now. It's all coming together, and I'm excited for it.
Thank you, coaches, and congratulations to our young ladies. I want to give a few shout-outs here. We do, as the coaches said, we have four individuals who earned individual state titles in addition to the team state title for the girls. So is Mackenzie Adams here?
Softball.
Mackenzie, I have a certificate for you, if you could come up.
Good job.
And then, is Abigail Lindsay here?
She's softball.
Okay. And Mackenzie Reeves?
She's softball.
Okay. And then, Dallas Johnson?
Dallas.
Okay. All right. So those four individuals were all individual state champions in their respective weight classes. So congratulations to them. I have certificates here for the other members of the team, and I will just name them by name. If you were here, come on up and get your certificate. Sierra Wall, Mackenzie Reeves, Mackenzie Adams,
congratulations, well done.
Yeah. Mackenzie Ladley, Bren Wallner,
congratulations, well done. Yeah.
Ellie Salyers, Aubrey Bush,
congratulations.
Ashley Hawkins.
Track.
Addison Hawkins.
Track.
Abigail Lindsay. Tara Nagel. Addison Reeves. Rayla Sanford.
Congratulations.
Thank
Rayla.
You.
Well done.
McKenna Mitchell.
Track.
Olivia Lobensheimer.
Track.
Audrey Compton.
Track.
Carly Kelly.
Softball.
Autumn Kress.
Congratulations. Yep.
Brooklyn Randalls. Mirage Haverfield.
Well done, Mirage. Good work.
And then Alyssa Mullins.
Okay.
So again, want to just say congratulations to all of these individuals. That is an accomplishment that is, as the coaches talked about, is certainly something long in the making. You obviously don't go out and start winning a state championship, you know, a month before it happens. So this is something that's been a long time in the works. And so just want to say congratulations to everyone. And I think they are not here tonight, but I want to give a shout out to the boys as well for finishing third at state. That is quite an accomplishment as well. So well done to them. But congratulations, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. At this point, the most exciting portion of the meeting is done. So for those of you who are here for student recognition, you are free to go. We will not be offended.
Can I say one more thing?
Please do.
I want to personally thank you for coming to the state championships. It meant a lot to the kids and all of us. Really appreciate it. Really.
Thank you, Coach.
It means a lot to us. So
appreciate
you.
That. Thank you.
Good job.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I'll make sure I get those certificates.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thanks,
for
Coach.
Coming up, brother. Really
you're welcome.
That.
Yep. You're welcome.
Thank
have
you.
Good,
good
job, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good work.
Good work, coaches.
Well, I can love her. I own the damn place.
Then you got
I was here before you were born.
See
you. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man.
Glad to meet you. I was the third person to graduate from here.
I don't know if I want you. I like. Yes,
are
I
you?
Do. I remember. I remember getting you. I'm seeing you too. Good buddy. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks
good
for
job.
Coming.
You know I'm bored.
See you guys.
All right. Do we have any employee recognition?
We do not.
All right. So now we'll move to Section D, Public Communication, the first session. Is anyone signed up?
Mr. Mason, there is not.
All right. A separate public communication opportunity for public comment on Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Do we have anybody signed up for that portion?
I don't believe we have anybody signed up for that. And just to note, that is an annual compliance of ours as a part of receiving our IDEA funding from the federal government through the state.
Thank you. Next is Section E, Board Work Session.
I just want to say, I believe all of us received the invitation from Tolls for their board recognition evening, which is, I believe, next Thursday?
24th.
The 24th. So if you guys have not responded, please do so. It is a nice event, and the kids put together a good dinner for everybody. So if you are able to attend, it would be wonderful if you do. Thank you.
I think so. So next we'll move to Section F, Approval of Board Minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of the March 12, 2024 regular meeting and March 14, 2024 special meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section G, Department Reports.
Thank you, Mr. President. This evening for our department report, Mrs. Meredith Ford is here, and she is going to be speaking about some matters that pertain to the Special Education Department.
Yeah, yes. I gotta keep it really close. This might be better. All right, so I did provide a handout for you. There's lots and lots of information. I wanted to try to be as thoughtful of your time as possible. So tonight I'm here to talk about basically student services. The department is growing by leaps and bounds. I'm super proud to say that over the last 5 years, we have increased our student numbers by 14.17%. Wow. So I think that's a pretty big deal. In 2019 and 2020, we served within the department 360 students. And now this year, currently, we're at 411 and we're not finished. So I'm super excited about that. That means we're serving this year about 35.1% of our students here at Madison Plains. The next slide, then, that I want to show is really talking, I've got four parts in the department that I wanted to touch base on. The first part is special education. This would be the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Most of you are familiar with that. This is all of the children, or we serve all of the children with disabilities that reside in the Madison Plains School District between the ages of 3 and 21 years old. So I'm pretty proud of the department. There is a special education profile that the Ohio Department of Education puts out. They base that on 6 essential questions, and they release the results 3 times a year. So far, it was released in December and February, 12 indicators, and out of those 12 indicators, we have met 9. I'm proud of that. One of the ones we didn't meet was a clerical error, so that'll be easy to correct in the future. The other two that we did not meet related to our graduation and dropout rate within special education, and so I'm also proud to say we've already done the self-reflection and goal setting for future years. In May, there'll be 6 more indicators come out, so I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what comes of that. Quickly, I wanted to tell you brief how the process for special education and how that works. Parents are learning this more and more throughout just community resources. So I think it would be good if you guys kind of understood how it worked too. The first step is a referral. That referral can come to our local education agency, which is Madison Plains. After that referral comes, we have 30 days within my department to decide if, based on all the information, we suspect the child has a disability. Once we decide that, we have 60 days to complete that evaluation team report, or that ETR that some of you might have heard of. If the child qualifies in those 60 days, then we have 30 days to write that individual education plan. And then after the child has an individual education plan, we progress monitor that every 9 weeks. And just so you, after the child has qualified, we are still responsible yearly to update that individual education plan. That's why it says annually. And then the ETR is to be done every 3 years. So there's a lot going on in the department. The next slide that you have there, just quickly touch on numbers within our special education department. We currently, and this is not counting all of our open enrolled students, even if a student is a resident of Madison Plains, but they're open enrolled, it's still a responsibility of my department to keep track of their services and making sure that they're getting what they're supposed to, even at that other district. But besides those, we have students in 10 different placements. Staff, just here on site, we have 32 staff members in our department, and then each of those 10 locations has administration, teachers, intervention specialists, related services that we work with. Number three is a whole list, kind of exciting, of our student numbers within special education right now. You can see preschool, that's a huge number that's doubled just this year. So we have 38 current students we're serving that are, 3 to 5 years old in the preschool setting. So our total number currently is 306 just special education services. And then when you look over at those evaluations, those are those either initial to let a student qualify or those triennial that we do every 3 years. We had 53 student referrals. We moved forward on 51. We had 64 of those triennials, the reviews. And then when we get new students that come to us with IEPs, we have to do a transfer, ETR and IEP. We have to make sure that what they come with is compliant. We had 34 of those. So it's been a busy year in the special ed department. The next section that I have in the department is section 504. So these would be our students that don't need that specialized instruction that come with an IEP, but they have qualified because they have a physical or mental impairment. Those would be things like ADHD, diabetes, dyslexia, those kind of physical or mental impairments. And then not only do you have to have that, but you also have to be affected by that in one or more life activities. And so I gave some examples of those as well. The process for a student receiving a 504 is very similar to a student receiving an IEP. Not quite as much paperwork, but we still have the referral, the evaluation, and a plan. And then it's good practice to do those plans annually, and then the evaluation every 3 years. Currently, we're serving 81 students in the district with 504s, and we've had 14 requests this year. So it's pretty exciting, and I do want to give a shout out. Those have historically been completed by our school counselors. So with everything on their plate, they're working through those annual reviews, and then I have, myself and our school psychologists have been taking care of the requests and the evaluations for the new students. The third section of the department, they are our English learners, or our ELs, and they come to us from the Every Student Succeeds Act in Ohio. We must, there's regulations that say we must identify them, we have to assess them annually, we have to provide reasonable accommodations, there is a state assessment they take in order to qualify, and there's a state assessment they take yearly to see if they're making progress. These students also have yearly plans similar to an IEP or a 504, but it helps the teachers know how to support them best. If you look at those boxes off to the side, you can see our numbers over the last 5 years. 2019 and 20, we had 10, went down to 9, but then we have been going up 13, 22, and 24 this year. I anticipate that number to definitely at least stay in that area and then more than likely continue to increase. Some of the things that I'm very proud of this year is we moved from just a TESOL teacher occasionally, that'd be the teacher that works with these students where English is their second language. We moved from a few hours a week to half time, and then we employ a full-time aide to help those students. We created new classes for them to meet the graduation requirements. And then we're also a part of a Title III consortium, which is for English learners. And within that consortium, there is a grant that we were able to get part of, and they offer a lot of support too. We wouldn't be able to get in a small district. So we've joined this consortium through the ESC of Central Ohio. And then the final group that I would like to mention is our students experiencing homelessness. So this is the McKinney-Vento Homeless Children and Youth Act, and it ensures that all children and youth, including those preschoolers, have equal access to the same free and appropriate public education as our non-homeless students. And this has been around since 1987, but in 2015, through Title IX Part A of the Every Student Succeeds Act, it kind of resurfaced and they reauthorized it. So there are guidelines every school district has to follow. Homelessness defined by McKinney-Vento often goes undetected because it is not exactly what we think of when historically we think of someone who's homeless. So for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the definition, but the definition there is on your slide of what we're looking for in order to support our students. So if you look there on the next page, I am extremely proud to share that we have been able to participate in two grant opportunities. The first grant opportunity came for 2022-2024. We had an allocation of $16,500. I have to give the credit here to Brian Garrett and his team. I believe Todd was a part of that. I'm not sure all of the people that were a part of writing that grant, but that grant brought us the room here in the junior high school where we have a commercialized washer and dryer and storage units to put clothes in, and we have been able to buy supplies for that. So that's what we utilized that grant for. That grant ends at the end of this year. Recently, we applied for a grant that they just put out, the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Program, and we will know, it'll be announced June 30th if we qualify or if we are granted that money. The possible allocation for our district would be about $11,200. This would last until 2027, and the plan we propose is really to work to have a system where we are effectively identifying these students. We're giving PD to our staff so they know what to look for, and then just eliminating the barriers for these kids. Some of the things that run through that are a lot of work is being done by our new school navigator, Elisa Gamble. She has connections that she's made through the community to be able to bring in resources or to be able to meet with families, find out what their situations are, and then be able to direct them to those resources. She has a lot of plans, her goals, to keep developing that room that we put in and keep making that a service for our students. And then I also wanted to give a shout out to our partnership with Sufficient Grace. They also provide food and hygiene products. So some of our money has been able to do things like purchase bags for those to send those things home with the students. So maybe it's not quite as obvious what's going on. And I just want to kind of give a shout out to Christina Finney at the 712. She kind of organizes and takes care of that sufficient grace. And then Amanda Kelly at the K6 building. So we're hoping to continue those programs and grow those programs. We want to be able to not only support our students that by definition are students experiencing homelessness, but we hope to get other donations, which I know we've received one already. We're hoping to get others that then will help support our students that have needs, but maybe not necessarily under this definition. So I am super excited about all of the growth in the department and all of the things that we're doing, and I appreciate the time to share that with you. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Thank you, Mrs. Ford.
Now move to Section 8, Superintendent Committee Reports.
Mr. President, the committee that met this month is the Policy Committee. They met on Thursday, April 11th at 5 o'clock in my office. There are a couple of policies before you and then one resolution related to some language change. I can get into that a little bit more when we get ready to approve that portion of the agenda. So,
all right. So now I'll move to Section I, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. I have our normal monthly financial reports. Hopefully you've had a chance to review those. We have a strong financial position here with the district from an operations standpoint. The thing that I would like to highlight, my second item, we have our annual Auditor of State financial audit results. As a reminder, we're audited every year by the state of Ohio or their designee. And right now our designee is Perry and Associates. Is the private audit firm that conducts our audit and has for the last couple of years. We had a clean audit, and what that means is we had zero comments, we had zero non-compliance, we had zero material misstatement. We had all of those things for our grant that was audited, which was our ESSER grant, which is good because that was one of our larger grants that we've had over the years. This audit is available on the Auditor of State's website for public inspection. We also try to make a copy available on our website, on my treasurer's page, and then also it's part of the board agenda for anybody that wants to review that. But we've consistently, and I knock on wood, through a lot of hard work for a lot from a lot of people in this district, department heads, building principals, support staff, office staff, all contribute to this clean audit. We've had that consistently over the last several years here since I've been part of the district. So that is something that I'm very proud of from my office and from a district standpoint, from my position professionally. If you'd like, we can I can answer any questions about that. But everybody wants to go to the last page, and the last page basically goes over and says everything what I just talked about. It's an unmodified opinion. That's what you want. No material weakness, no significant deficiencies in internal control, no material non-compliance at the financial statement level, no material weakness or internal control reported for major federal programs, no significant deficiencies in internal control reported for major federal programs, an unmodified major program opinion, no reportable findings. The major program tested was the ESSER, Elementary and Secondary School Relief Emergency Relief Fund. And right there at the bottom, we are a low-risk auditee because of all of this. Sometimes we would have a management letter that would accompany an audit, and I would present that as well. A lot of times districts present that in executive content because it's not really required to be presented publicly. We always present ours publicly. However, we didn't even have a management letter comment this time around. So we had no minor issues either, which is good. So.
Good job.
Yeah, I think I speak on behalf of the whole board in saying thank you. We appreciate that. That's the expectation from all of us, that we be good stewards of the taxpayers' money, and we're appreciative of you and everybody else in the district that is accomplishing that goal.
I appreciate that. Huge team effort, for sure.
Thank you.
If there aren't any other questions, that does conclude my report for this evening.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the treasurer, the board approve financial items I-4.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now move to section J, superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a number of items for discussion items here this evening. Obviously, since we met the last time, we've had Ohio has had its spring primary, and the bond issue that was on the ballot for the school district did in fact fail. And so I think it would be a good idea for us to get together as a board. We have a relatively short window of time to be able to gather as a group and begin to talk about what next steps we would like to take. And so Todd and I have had some conversation in the office, and I know we've conversed with a couple members of the board. We believe that getting together to get at least, I would argue, one meeting for sure, but probably multiple meetings would be a good idea. There's an awful lot of information to digest and to think about as we consider what our next steps might be, whatever that is. The next opportunity, and I'm not presuming in any way that the board wants to do this, but if the board were to decide that we wanted to be on the ballot in November, we have to start making decisions pretty quickly, because there are some things that need to occur with the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission, and then getting getting resolutions passed for them, and then getting things prepared for ballot language to be ready is something that we need to do as well. So as I said, there's a lot of information that needs to be discussed. The OFCC piece in particular, we would need to be passing resolutions beginning at the May meeting if we want to work with the OFCC. So I would encourage us, if we can, to get a meeting scheduled. And then if we see that through that meeting we want to schedule more, if you want to go ahead and schedule a couple this evening, we can. But we really ought to get, we really need to have this conversation over the course of the next, really the next 3 weeks.
I think a big thing, at least for me personally, I'd like to do is try to get more community input. I know we did that initially. Now it's been a few years, actually, since we did it. So I think, obviously, we've had three attempts. I would really like to engage and get community input, you know, and try to get buy-in from the community, I guess the best way to put it. So if that, we'll have the first meeting and kind of get an understanding of what we're presenting. And then I'd like to talk through how we're going to present, or how we're going to advertise to the public to try to get people to attend a public meeting and give us their input. You know, what the community would like to see, concerns they have, and try to answer questions that people of our district have. So I guess I'm fine with setting a meeting, you know, to have that type of discussion. I mean, whatever, I'd like to open up to you guys, see what you're looking for.
I definitely agree with Mr. Mason about the community engagement. It's pretty clear that the needs of the district haven't changed, but also the voters of this district were pretty clear that what was being presented, that they, you know, that they weren't comfortable with it. So I agree that I think it would be good for us to have a working session to work through some of the different calculators that we saw at some of the meetings last year. Just different options, whether it was, you know, there are options, many options, some that include a proposed new elementary and high school and then rehabbing this facility. there's been calculators that looked at, and we discussed previously what the additional millage request would be to have a, you know, a K through something in Mount Sterling. But I think that this board should certainly be aligned, not on what's being presented, but what those different options are and what those different millage requests would be prior to us having that community engagement. And I would be more of the mindset that I think we need to meet pretty soon because I think it will be at least one meeting with the, I would think with the board, maybe two, and then certainly a meeting with the public and trying to wrap all that up prior to basically a month from now. So I'd personally like to see us meet within the next 2 weeks probably if possible.
Do we want to try to set a date now?
I would recommend that, sir, if possible. I could be available this Thursday evening. I don't know what other schedules are. I would certainly say next week. I think we ought to, at the very latest, I think our first meeting should probably be by next week on Tuesday the 23rd. At the latest, to have our first meeting as a group.
I'm available on the 23rd. For next week, I would have the 23rd and 25th.
Yeah, that works for me. Is that work for you?
My schedule's pretty open from now to, well, the rest of this week and next week, so.
23rd.
23rd works.
Okay, and then we'll set future meetings from there?
Yeah.
Okay, so do we want to meet? Is it possible that maybe we can meet at 6 o'clock, or do you want to maintain a 7 o'clock meeting?
6 is fine for me.
That's fine.
6 works for me.
Okay. Let's plan to meet here in the high school library at 6 o'clock. I will double check to make sure that this room is available. If it's not, I will find another room here on campus for us to meet.
One thing that we may have to go with a little bit different setup as far as the board table. So that we can all get around the table on this and really, really engage in that conversation, because there is a lot of information to try to digest, and so I would recommend that we have more of an open, you know, free form conversation regarding this issue, where we could just plug numbers, get you answers, and have you be able to see the impacts of the decisions that might be made. So if it's in this room, that's great. We might want to tighten things up a little bit and get a little closer around the table to really examine that issue. The other thing, you mentioned having a couple board meetings and then a meeting with the public. I think that's great. But those board meetings will be public meetings also.
Sure.
And we'll advertise them and publicize them the exact same way we would any other meeting. So the public's welcome to attend those and give input in public communication in advance of the meeting, and then input afterwards, you know, after the meeting. But then also we could receive in, you know, feedback online as a result of those meetings as well. So I think that's important to realize that the work that we'll be doing will be public work out there in front of everybody, and encourage everybody to participate.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's what we want, right? Like we want community engagement. And I think Mr. Eisler mentioned this, but I want to be clear, while you're giving us dates that are kind of hard timelines related to the next election, that doesn't mean that we'll be comfortable that we've done enough to even pursue that.
Correct.
You're just mentioning that is an option.
Yeah, correct.
Yes,
right?
The if dates. If you want to be on in November, these are the dates that you have to hit from a resolution standpoint. The closest resolution date that we might have to pass would be that one with the OFCC in May, but that one does not obligate us to the ballot at all. That's just asking them to update our package.
No, I appreciate you mentioning. I just want to be clear that it does, that's not beholding us to anything.
Right.
You know, at least myself, I want to have that communication with the public and get input. And if we have enough information at that point, great. If we don't, I don't personally feel any pressure to, you know, move forward any quicker than what we're comfortable with.
Sounds good.
Thank you. All right. So
just to be clear, we have scheduled a meeting then for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024 at 6 o'clock p.m. here on campus.
Yep.
Okay, so a week from this evening. All right, just a few other items, Mr. President, by way of just discussion points. We have some of our coaches and community members would like to name the baseball field in honor of former Madison Plains baseball coach Denny Morris. My understanding is that Coach Morris was a longtime coach here. a very important member of not only the school community, but the community at large as well, and that he was a very successful coach while he was here. The baseball banners that hang down in the gym, I'm certainly under the impression that he had an awful lot to do with those that are hanging there. So the group has would like to be able to do this. Apparently every year on May 4th, we play the Denny Morris Classic, which is a game that Madison plays here against Westfall. The group that would like to rename the stadium after Coach Morris would like to be able to do it at that particular game. So there was a motion on the agenda tonight for the board to approve that. So we can discuss that more if you'd like when we get there. A couple of other things. We now have a gridiron club within the Madison Plains Local School District to act as a booster group for the football program. They are going to be holding a 7-versus-7 student flag football tournament on May 17th in the evening. And so I just wanted to promote that here quickly. That, of course, will be done as a fundraiser for the Gridiron Club, but it certainly should be a very exciting evening of flag football for those students who choose to participate, so looking forward to that. On your report as well, or in your board packet that is online, the tolls report is there for you if you would like to read that. And then the only other thing, I just would echo what Mrs. Zanika said about the tolls dinner. I believe RSVPs were technically due already, but if anyone wants me to reach out, if you've not had a chance or you missed that, I can reach out and see if I can RSVP for you for the tolls dinner. So if you would let me know before the evening is over, I'll see what I can do. But in terms of discussion items, Mr. President, that's all I have.
Thank you. Now move to Section K, Policy and Governance.
Thank you, Mr. President. So there are three different items, four different items on the Policy and Governance section of the meeting tonight. The first is we are doing a first reading of the student drug testing policy. To the best of my knowledge, that policy has not been updated since 2011. And I think it's time that we take a look at that, and so we are. There have been a few updates made to the policy already. We're going to be looking at this again over the course of the next month. There may be a few other updates by the time we get the final version to you, but I'm asking the board tonight to approve a first reading. There will be a second reading next month, but asking the board to approve a first reading of the drug testing policy this evening. There is, and forgive me, I'm going to switch what I'm looking at here. We have a motion before the board then this evening as well. Our policy ACAA, our sexual harassment policy, there is contact information in there that needs to be updated. That is the only change that is being proposed to that policy right now, is just simply updating that contact information. And so I'm asking the board tonight to do, because that's all it is, I'm asking the board tonight to do a first and final reading on that. And then the final item in the policy section, last year the General Assembly in Ohio and the governor signed House Bill 33 into law. House Bill 33 made some pretty significant changes to the Ohio Department of Education. And so the Ohio Department of Education has become the Ohio Department of Education and Workforce, and so House Bill 33 basically reassigned that from underneath the State Board of Education to the governor's office. And so the governor's office oversees ODEW now. And most of the duties of ODE have gone to the State Board of Education. There are a few things that still exist within have gone to the State Board of Education. ODEW has everything else. So the policy implications for school districts all across the state are that all the references to the Ohio Department of Education in policy need to be changed from ODE to either ODEW or SBOE. So what OSBA has told us and what they're telling districts is that they're asking districts to pass this resolution. It authorizes them to approve, or excuse me, our approval, the board's approval authorizes them to review our policies to see what changes need to be made. They will then send us a sheet with the changes that need to be made and another follow-up resolution where the board will have the opportunity to approve those changes, and then that authorizes OSBA to go in and make those changes. So it really is taking some work off of our plates and putting it on OSBA. So I am asking the board this evening, because this is a resolution and not policy per se, I'm asking the board to approve this resolution in one reading this evening. But that's all I have for policy.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items K2 through K4.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone.
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas.
Yes.
Mr. Gary.
Yes.
Mr. Mead.
Yes.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section L, business.
And a few business items before the board here this evening, sir. The first of which is asking the board to approve our list of seniors to participate in the 2024 commencement. So that list is before you. This is the list of students who will be eligible. They, of course, have to finish successfully all of their requirements, but that list of students is eligible this evening. We have a student who is requesting an early graduation. This student is requesting to be able to graduate at the midpoint of next year, which would be their senior year, but requesting to graduate just after the end of the first semester, again, pending completion of successful completion of all requirements. And that student then is requesting to, and we've done this before, I believe, is requesting to be able to walk with their colleagues, or with their peers, rather, in May, which again is something that we have done. And then the final item in the business section is simply the request that I mentioned earlier, approving the naming of the baseball stadium for Coach Denny Morris.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items L2 through L4.
Second.
I just want to say I support the naming the baseball field after Denny Morris. Guy I had the privilege to know him. Definitely made an impact as a employee here and also obviously as a coach. So I think that's a good thing. I appreciate the community supporting that. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
We'll move to Section M, personnel.
Mr. President, a number of personnel items before the board this evening. We do, unfortunately, have a couple of resignations that are there. We want to thank everybody who is unfortunately leaving us. We want to thank them for their service. It certainly is appreciated. We do have several items there to employ. A couple of intervention specialists and one English language arts teacher. And then we have a couple of supplemental items there as well for the board to consider this evening.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 through M8.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section N, donations.
Mr. President, we do have several donations there. Would like to thank everyone for their generosity and supporting the various programs that are represented there. We certainly are appreciative.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations as listed below.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next, section O, and do we have any new business? All right. So we'll move to section P, the second public communication section. Has anyone signed up for that? All right, so now we'll go to section Q, executive session. I move that we enter to executive session at 7:55 p.m. for the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G. Section 1, to consider the employment of a public employee, the discipline of a public employee, and the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee. Section 3, conferences with an attorney. And Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statute.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Spengler?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're in executive session.
I hate to do this, but is the next meeting the 23rd?
Yeah.
Is that we had? I've got something that day. I cannot be there.
We're in executive session.
You can just exit out.
Yeah, we got to come out of executive session.
All right. So I move. Well, we're out of executive session at 7:56.
7:56.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I didn't have it on my calendar, but I have something that day. I can't remember.
May 14th, correct?
April. Are you talking about the Tuesday meeting?
I could do the 30th. No. April 23rd, I can't do. I could do April.
The one we just scheduled.
Okay. Yeah, the special meeting we just talked about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was at the next regular on May 14th. Hang on 1 second. I actually took time to look at every date I can make for the next 2 weeks in case this came up.
How does the 25th look that well?
The 23rd and 25th, I know I can do for next week.
The math bees on the 25th, I can't do that.
And then the 30th and the 3rd will be the next dates that I could.
I could do 30th. The 30th.
Yeah, 30th is better for me.
30th?
The 30th. All right. The 3rd, I'll be in Athens.
All right. Sorry about that. Does 30th work for you guys?
It does.
All right. Sorry. I appreciate the flexibility.
We're doing 6 p.m. still?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I got to go back in executive session.
Oh, yeah. Crud. My schedule's crazy. I'm out of town that week.
Which week?
The whole week of the 29th. I'm sorry, guys.
So the 30th doesn't work either?
Right. I'll be back the week of the 6th. I'm available the whole week.
I mean, that takes us into the 3rd week.
Later this week?
Any chance Thursday works?
This Thursday?
I have the tolls board meeting this Thursday.
Are we opposed to meeting later one night this week? Like, I mean, I'm talking if it was 9 o'clock.
I could do Friday.
Oh, my God. No, I cannot do Friday.
I have family coming into town. Yeah. I'd like to be able to see them on Friday.
Sure.
Monday? 22nd?
Monday the 22nd.
My only request would be, could we meet at like 8 o'clock? It'd have to be later if we're going to try to do something.
On the 22nd? Yeah.
Is this group willing to do that?
I'll work with you, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
It's Earth Day, you have to work with me on that one, but.
There you go.
So the 22nd at 8 o'clock in the evening?
Thank you.
So Monday, April 22nd, 8 o'clock.
Thank you, guys. All right, so I move that we enter to executive session at 7:59 for the purpose of the following items under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the employment of a public employee, the discipline of a public employee, and the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee. Section 3, conferences with an attorney.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mason. The copy that I have says Section 1, to consider the employment, promotion, and compensation of a public employee, the discipline of a public employee, and the investigation of charges or complaints. I'm reading the motion up above. Right.
I was reading the part that I thought was pertinent.
Oh.
Try to make it as accurate as possible.
Well, I have that on there for a reason.
Okay. To consider the employment, promotion, and compensation of a public employee, the discipline of a public employee, and the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee. Section 3, conferences with an attorney, and Section 5, matters required to be confidential by federal or rules of state statute.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stoneroff?
Yes.
Mr. Derrick?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0 for an executive session.
There'll be no action taken after the executive session. Our next meeting is a special board meeting on April 22nd at 8 p.m. here in the library.